You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
South Africa. I was going to continue on some of the Jones stuff, but I think we've covered that. If anybody wants to call in with any information, opinions about that, feel free. Last hour of the program, I'm going to cover some things that was on South Africa. Yeah, the white expropriation of their farm, expropriation of white farms. Failed state, even, you know, Zimbabwe 2.0. A lot of people are talking about it. We've been talking about this for a long, long time on this broadcast, and many others have as well. Let's start with clip two, and then I'm going to read an article.
Sub-Saharan Africa, since the end of European colonialization, has been one of mass famine, blood-soaked coup d'etats, tribal, ethnic, and civil wars, as well as genocide. And all of this is set against a backdrop where much of the continent is kept on life support via foreign aid. And this, in turn, is fueling the growing migrant crisis slamming into Europe via those fleeing their failed societies and producing one of the largest migration waves in human history. And this is very true of Zimbabwe. 3 to 4 million Zimbabweans, the greater part of the nation's skilled workforce, has left the country in response to the man-made catastrophe engineered by Robert Mugabe, the Marxist guerrilla-turned politician who came to power in 1980. And in the following years, Zimbabwe's economy steadily deteriorated and then simply collapsed. Living standards declined, life expectancy was reduced, average wages lowered, and unemployment exploded, and hyperinflation destroyed the value of the nation's currency. During his tenure, Mr. Mugabe made many decisions that choked off the economic progress of the country. Most critical of these decisions that turned the nation from the breadbasket of Africa to a country that needed to import food was the stripping of white farmers of their land and handing it over to members of the black population, who in many cases had no farming experience. As the nation's economy disintegrated, Mugabe started blaming the country's economic problems on Western countries and the white Zimbabwean minority, and he called on supporters to, quote, strike fear into the hearts of the white man, our real enemy. And it would seem that their neighbor, South Africa, has learned nothing from the failure that is Zimbabwe and looks dead set on making the exact same mistakes, foremost among them the racial theft of land that created the Mugabe disaster.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm saying to you, we've not called for the killing of white people, at least for now. I can't guarantee the future.
Yeah, but, I mean, you'd understand somebody watching that, especially as it gets shared on Twitter, they freak out. It sounds like a genocidal call.
Cry babies.
I'm not calling for the slaughter of white people, at least for now.
I can't give a guarantee of the future, especially when things are going the way they are.
Subtext.
Especially if things are going the way they are, there will be a revolution in this country, I can tell you now. There will be an alert revolution. An unled revolution is the highest form of anarchy.
The Economic Freedom Fighters is basically a radical black nationalist party with Marxist leanings and is the third largest party in the parliament and has for some time demanded that white land and businesses be seized by the black majority. Its leader, Julius Malema, who was expelled from the ANC, has urged black South Africans to take the land from white invaders, or what he calls Dutch thugs. In the South African parliament, he has explained that his party wanted to unite black people in South Africa, and to do this, it would take the expropriation of white land without compensation. And given the statements by Julius Malema, the leader of the EFF, that whites will be slaughtered unless they give up all land in South Africa, well, this sentiment is being amplified by the announcement made on the 31st of July by South African President Cyril Ramaphosa that the government will initiate a parliamentary process to enshrine in the constitution a proposed amendment, paving the way for land grabs without compensation. At stake, not only for whites but for all South Africans, is that expropriation will most likely deal a heavy blow to commercial farming in that country and precipitate a food production crisis just like the one that struck Zimbabwe when it unleashed the similar land grabs against white farmers in 1999 to 2000. Now, one of the chief talking points used by the likes of Mr. Malema and the EFF is the term white monopoly capital. It is a blanket term used in much the same way as white supremacy, and it is used to justify the seizure of white South Africans' property. Interestingly, however, it is a term to be said to have been created by the UK-based PR firm Bell Pottinger.
You can stop
and
it there.
With the express intention.
And here's what's so fascinating. There are similar groups here in the United States talking the exact, almost mirroring the exact type of rhetoric that Malema's talking about in South Africa. Now, here's the article. What will happen when the ANC takes my farm? I have no doubt that the ANC government has given a lot of thought to the topic of expropriation without compensation. However, I think they might not have fully comprehended the consequences of such a policy. As a farmer, I thought it might be useful to enlighten them as to the course of action I would take once my farm is targeted for EWC. Before I continue, I would like to emphasize that this is not a threat nor delivered with the mindset of a saboteur. It is merely a description of the sequence of events that would unfold in the event of such a policy being enforced. I would immediately identify all the movable assets on my farm and start selling them or placing them in a suitable storage facility. I list these below simply to demonstrate to non-farmers what makes a farm functional and profitable. The first to go would be all the livestock, followed by all the machinery, including tractors, pumps, silos, center pivots, electrical transformers, irrigation equipment, water troughs, implements, and piping. I would strip the dairy and sell the bulk tanks, milking machines, etc. I would take down all internal fencing on the farm and recoup what I could. All sheds would be disassembled, and all houses and other buildings would be stripped of anything sellable, including their roofs. I would disconnect, cancel the 5 ESCOM points on the farm and obtain refunds on the deposits I paid on them. I would retrench all my staff and pay them off in accordance with the Labor Act. I would then strip all the staff accommodation on the farm and sell what I could. With the sale of all my livestock and cessation of the farming operation, I would immediately default on the RAND $5.5 million I owe. But I wouldn't worry as the farm is the loan security and I don't really own anything else. When the day came to leave the farm, I would hand the keys over to the new owners, but I'm not quite sure what they would do as they're – what they would do as there'd be no roof on the farmhouse and there would be nothing to farm on the farm. It would just be a piece of land, but that's okay because the ANC says owning land makes you wealthy. When you take the sequence of events described above and multiply it on a national scale, you see another sequence of events unfolding. The new farmers arrive on the farm, but there's no livestock, machinery, or working capital to continue the operation. They go to the banks to borrow money, but the banks are sitting on a 160 billion rand defaulted debt book from the old farmers and won't lend a cent to agriculture. They're fighting for their own survival now. The government doesn't have the money, which would be far more than the 160 billion rand mentioned above, to recapitalize and finance all the farms. So most of the farms either fall derelict or are farmed at a subsistence level. There's a massive short-term surplus of beef, sheep, and poultry products due to the sell-off by the previous farmers. This brings prices down drastically in the short term, but eventually the meat runs out and there's nothing to replace it. Meat prices skyrocket. Dairy products cease almost immediately after the livestock call/sell-off, and within weeks, there's a critical shortage of all dairy products. Importing is impossible due to the government's actions, which have decimated the value of the rand. Maize lasts quite a bit longer, and with careful rationing, will endure until the next season. But there's no crop in the ground for the next year due to the new farmers' lack of machinery experience and access to credit. All agricultural co-ops and suppliers very quickly cease operation and or go bankrupt and retrench all their staff. They cannot survive by selling single bags of seed and fertilizer to subsistence farmers. And it goes on and on. Food riots become common and genuine hunger and poverty widespread. Unlike Zimbabwe, the South African population has nowhere to run. With the white farmer no longer an available target and the true value of land revealed in all its fallacy, the masses turn on the only target they have left, the ANC. All food-dependent enterprises such as fast food chains and restaurants either disappear or are greatly reduced, along with their staff. Just food for thought, folks. These knuckleheads, they have no – you know what it is. You know how this is. It's envy. It's all the rest of these things. Let's take Jeff in Idaho. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Robert. If you're not on the air anymore, I understand. But the mission has pretty much been complete on what we did on from November 2015. The Red November is basically in dry dock now, and it's safe. So I've gotten a couple of coded messages from November 1st that basically I'm coming back online on a couple different things. But Tomato Bubble, MS King basically published about the Q phenomenon. Uh-huh. And during the week when I was working on it, QAnon.pub disappeared, and within 3 or 4 hours of sending a message, got replaced with the QAnon.app. Is very interesting this week. But
that's what I got that post from, QAnon.app. Yeah.
Okay. So that Robert, that was changed. I can email you a time, but it doesn't matter. So what's going on is the message basically is this: as I've mentioned Dr. Rivera on the air, edrivera.com and organiclaws.org. Okay. So since Anna basically is bringing this stuff out, I just want to read you a post from Friday, August 10th. It's called By Operation of Law. I just want to read the fourth paragraph. It says, Trump has, since the publication of these books, sicked teams of lawyers on this information and combed the National Archives, period. As a result, it has been newly confirmed. Okay, she previously wrote that this stuff had been confirmed, but she just used the word newly confirmed for, this is in the past month, for some emphasis. At the highest levels of international government, there's never been any disagreement about the facts. There has only been a divide between those who knew and those who didn't know. This is like the movie about National Treasure, the Book of Secrets, okay? So mm-hmm. President Trump knows and has the proof and facts, and he's brought them forward, okay? So skip down about 10 paragraphs and says, by operation of law, the delegated powers have reverted to the United States of America, comma, its member states, comma, and their people, period. To us, comma, in other words, period. We have stepped forward in a timely fashion and acknowledged and accepted the return of our delegated powers, period. We have arranged for President Trump to enter the legitimate, long-vacant office of the President of the United States of America and extended a month-to-month service contract in support of the American military bases as outlined by the original Constitution. Now, this goes back to work that I did about 3 or 4 years ago. And if you go to on that, Robert, if you go to that QAnon.app, just read post number 1745, okay? And what it will tell you is if you read the first two pages, I spent about $50 to get it from Dr. Rivera, and then he was going to allow me to post it freely. But let me see, I'm kind of scrolling down to get here for a second. But this is essentially the part of the plan. You know, since they've made it public, I'll just help a little people, all right? So post 1745 came out July 28th, all right? And basically it says, very bottom, declassified by POTUS, key parts that factually demonstrate the dirty fake dossier was used as primary source to secure highest levels of intel spying on primary Republican opponent, in bracket, plus post-election, bracket, intel assets, foreign, /domestic spying, on the President of the United States, double close bracket, for the office of the President of the United States of America. Okay? I'll go to, for people that don't have this, I'll go read the first page of the analysis by Dr. Rivera. Okay? I've never before seen another literal analysis of what is called the preamble, this Constitution for the United States of America, or this Constitution, as the Constitution refers to itself 11 times. I first noticed this phrase, this Constitution, when it appeared in the oral oath taken by the President of the United States. Before he entered on the execution of his oath, in his oath, he swears to affirm he will, to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. In writing this literal analysis of Article 1, I discovered that the first occurrence of the phrase, this Constitution, is in the main body of the Constitution, to be a significant place. All the parts for the permanent version of the temporary government for the Northwest Territory, with one exception, were placed between the preamble and the end of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. The one exception is the oath of office by which the President of the United States claims that office. The written version of the oral oath of the President of the Office of the President of the United States is located in Article 2, where it has been mistaken for the oath of the President of the United States of America ever since George Washington took that oath. As president of the Constitutional Convention, Washington knew exact wording of that oath he would take as president after the Constitution was ratified. At the conclusion of the Constitutional Convention, Ben Franklin announced without hesitation the arrival of a new republic. Franklin also had been a delegate to the Constitutional Convention, so he also knew that Washington would take an oral oath to be president of the United States and then act as if the president, as if the United States of America belonged to the Confederacy. Okay, so why did I read that on air? It's because we have arranged for President Trump to enter the legitimate, though long vacant, office of the President of the United States of America and extended a month-to-month service contract in support of the American military and the basic services as outlined by our original Constitution. So do you understand what is going on? Anna and the Native Americans, for the past, since 2015, have held the 19 enumerated clauses of the Constitution, and what does that do? That brings money in by tariff. Robert, why is Trump attacking everyone in the world with tariffs? If the United States, the way it's organized since 1868, has been franchising countries all around the world to have the same government service corporation to transform it into from a republic at the local level to democracies. Okay. The Israel did this in England, if you read Anna's work, at paulstrammer.net.
Go ahead. Keep going. Okay.
All right. So the deal comes down to is that they've got this thing all cinched up with essentially going back to the de jure government, not the de facto government, Because when the guys, Congress critters come in place, every time they come to the new Congress, they set aside the old Constitution. Okay? So when you find out what has really gone on with this slow bleed, they're basically trying to get Nunez out of California right now by essentially going into Orange County and all this other stuff. They got to get Nunez and these guys out, and they got to try and get the House back, but they'll never be able to because they've lost control of the narrative. Uranium One was $20 trillion, $1.4 million per share. It was designed to basically decrease the nuclear navy. For 30 or 40 years, it's been selling this Chinese imports on steel. Is their hydrogen and brittle steel, and they're fragile. So all the military vehicles that have been made are basically not very durable. All right? Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. What do you think about this? What do you think about this special counsel, Mr. Huber, and then these guys flying into Little Rock and grabbing documents, Uranium One stuff? What do you think about all that?
Well, here's the deal that's going on. Basically, when Oklahoma City went off, they basically took all the Whitewater documents and basically put them in the Oklahoma City bomb area, and it didn't go off. So basically, when the bombs didn't take out the paperwork, they had to go grab it. So they were basically grabbing the paperwork rather than getting victims underneath the rubble. You remember all these initial early reports?
Okay. Yeah.
Huber is basically a top RICO and basically trafficking and all these other things, guys. He's got 470 investigators, and so does Mueller. Now, Mueller is essentially a military, a Marine like you, Robert, and all the Marines basically have a duty to listen to what the President of the United States of America, de jure, says. You understand what the last about 10 minutes of my conversation have been?
Yep.
Okay, so they basically have got this all tied up in a bow right now. Uber basically has got the 101,000, when you total them up, if you go look at the posts, about 102,000 probably now, 65,000 sealed unsealed indictments and about 47,000 sealed, I'm sorry, 65,000 unsealed and 47 sealed. So what's going on is that these guys are going to slow bleed this stuff between now and the election. I think what you're going to see is there's going to be a lot of activity this month, okay? Because what did the Bilderbergers do in August in Europe? They roll out their next war in September.
Mm.
Guns of August, they always plan in August, and they basically roll out in the fall. So all I'm saying is I could hear it in your voice when I first heard you come on air, and if you have to leave, Robert, it's okay. I've been in the burnout phase of all this stuff, too, but I've been working on this a part of this project for about 5 years now, and I laid low for a year till it basically got to this point. But this was my signal that they're pretty much done. So just go read QAnon's app, 1745, and that's the plan that's the calm before the storm. The October 5th, 2017 meeting. Okay, ties into Anna and bringing back the de jure government, bringing back all the JAG officers, basically putting $400 million into Guantanamo Bay, you know?
Yep.
All right. So I think it's all over except for the fireworks and the gallows, the sound of the gallows dropping. All right?
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Well, I'm just telling you that just take your time, go read... go read that post and think of why Huber's in there. The post next to it, they had the hubris to actually put the plan out on air. Now, since they publicized it, trust me, I have not been involved in the QAnon stuff at all, Robert, except reading what other people have written about, except when I got that message. All right, and then that was like a reactivation code. All right, so I'm just telling you that we finished the Hunt for Red November now on your show. So if you gotta go, I understand, but remember, if you're called up as a Marine, remember, the de jure president is asking for your things. So Anna needs as much money as she can get from people, because she's basically saved maybe 5 billion people on the planet. Russia and China and the U.S. are probably in a pact right now that if some rogue nation basically fires a nuke at them, that they have to absorb a tactical nuke and not start World War III. The Saudis are in control of the $4 trillion. And what you're going to see is the Saudis are going to basically be moving their money around, and they're going to basically be jacking the stocks up and down to these people that have big stock portfolios. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi in a C-SPAN interview that that this I read from post like 485, like 845, Robert, till about 1200 while your show was running. And there was this, the last post I read was Nancy Pelosi on C-SPAN at about 1243 or something like that, says, oh, well, when we went to North Korea, so Eric Schmidt basically had a server in North Korea that he put in there that all the Obama administration were using with Gmail accounts. This is where the Hillary stuff was going through. Okay, so they physically have got this server now and the other servers for the DNC and these other things. So there's about four servers running around. So when you try and tie all this stuff together, I just basically skimmed through the QAnon post as fast as possible because I knew some of the things in the background from doing this de jure run activity. Mm-hmm. I know how some of the pieces fit together. Now, am I revealing any national security secrets? No, I haven't been involved in any of that at all. But I'm just telling you that the hunt for Red November is over, Robert.
All right, Jeff, anything else before we let you go?
Oh, no. I've got myself in trouble enough. That's all I need.
All right, man.
Yeah.
All right, see ya. Let's bring on Frank in North Carolina. What's up, Frank? Your thoughts.
Yeah, hey, Robert. Wow, I that was it's a hard call to follow up on. I just wanted to make a point, though, about what happened in Washington, D.C. today in Lafayette Square with Jason Kessler.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not on the Internet. I don't have cable TV. I just got antenna TV. You know, I see a little bit of it here and there tonight on ABC News and whatnot. And it looked like it was a very small group.
Yeah,
I've been in contact via text with several people, and, I mean, they're saying it looked like it could have been anywhere from 20 to as few as 12 people for the Unite the Right. And they were up against many thousands of Black Lives Matter, hate, you know, self-hating whites.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and all of that. But, you know, the thing is, I mean, whether it was 20 or 40 guys or whatever, from what I understand, the police finally had to get them out of there. They put them all in one van, like a passenger van. They were all able to fit in a passenger van. Okay,
yeah.
So that's it's really embarrassing, but you know what? I'm glad no one was hurt or anything, and I'm glad they didn't do a pull off a false flag leading up to the with some video to run for your elections for the next 8-10 weeks, whatever.
But you know what's crazy,
Frank? The point.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy is they, even when 20 show up, the way that they can manipulate and distort and everything else, they can hype up the idiot classes out here even further, even if there's only 20. That's what gets me mad.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about 20, like, you know, quote-unquote white nationalists.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, but the thing is, it's kind of like the old adage is like, you know, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's really not a good analogy for what I'm talking about. It's more like if you get down in the mud and want to, you know, with pigs, you're going to get dirty. Or here's a better one. That's what I'm trying to say. If you get into a debate, like a public debate with someone who's absolutely crazy, mentally ill or just completely stupid, you end up looking stupid too.
Yeah.
And that's what I think this comes down to with these rallies, with these pro-white, hey, look, you know, we want our rights, we want our voice. Because the way they've got it with Antifa and Black Lives Matter coming out, you end up almost looking as dumb as they are.
Yeah.
It's like it's a no-win situation.
If you got some guys doing the rebel flag thing and all that crap, you play right into the commies' hands because they're like, you see these haters? They're everywhere around the country. When that's BS, and you and I know it. And so this whole Unite the Right thing, what'd they do with the first one? They ran a false flag with the freaking fat chick, Heather Heyer, and the Dodge Challenger and all that other crap, and then you're gonna do another one of these after deep state elements already did a psyop at your first rally. I mean, that's why everybody stayed away from it, except probably apparatchiks of, you know, the agenda.
And I think there were some parties that might have been present, but they have legal actions against them from the first one. So, you know, they don't want to get involved in anything new until they get that stuff settled.
Yeah.
But here, this is weird, too. Somebody's telling me that there was a black guy with Jason Kessler the whole freaking time with the white nationalist group.
That guy's questionable. Spencer's questionable. Jason Kessler is questionable as far as, I mean, these guys, I look at them both as assets of the larger PSYOP personally. So that's the way I see it.
I'm suspicious. I have a hard time trusting people.
Me too.
Especially if there's a lot of red flags in their backgrounds and things.
Yeah.
But he did get out a good statement. I saw it on. I couldn't believe they let it out on ABC World News tonight. He said, "Look,
hey, there's the break. Hold on, Frank. Hold on, Frank. There's the break."
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page.
Coming your way, Incendiary Radio. We're talking with Frank in North Carolina. While I got you on the line, Frank, and we were talking about Charlottesville and some of the squirrely characters in the Unite the Right, really almost drawing out an embarrassing show, and to try to do it in the belly of the beast in D.C. and hostile ground, Kessler and Spencer and all that stuff. My thing is, with the way the things went the first time, to try to do another one, to me, it was just silly in itself. Now, I wanted to get your opinion about the deplatforming of Jones, and are you thinking it's some psyop, or do you think they're really, because of how big the operation's getting, they want to curtail him, or do they want to make a martyr out of him to make him even bigger? What are you thinking?
Yeah, maybe he's a straw man. Maybe they're worried about other people. Maybe they want to attack him and draw more people on him, because, I mean, he's bigger than ever. I mean, Alex Jones, it's like what's his name was saying earlier. It's funny, because that's like the first story that I remember my parents read to me when I was a kid, and I never forget it. I think about it all the time now, Briar Rabbit. I mean, you know, please don't throw me into that briar patch. Alex Jones is right where he wants to be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what he's always wanted, you know? And I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to consider any possibility. It's above my pay grade as far as that goes. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't trust Alex, man. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a wild ride we're on right now in the last couple of weeks. So I just, you know, I can't, I, you know, what these demons are wanting to do to the, to our country and the rest of the, you know, the earth is just, it's absolutely ridiculous and horrible. And, it just, you know, the frustration that sets in when you're watching so many millions of people manipulated so easily. That's, I think, what gets me the most frustrated is the gullibility and just the suckerness, like how big a suckers our fellow creatures are.
Well, hey, Robert, while I got you on here, did you see that article in, I think it was the Daily Mail? I heard about it. The Daily Mail article was talking about Israel, and they're, you know, leading the world in assassinations. 800, they counted 800 assassinations in the past 10 years. You know, I'm thinking about all this propaganda we hear day and night, 24/7, every time, about Russian this, Russian agents, Russian collusion.
Yeah.
But you don't ever, I mean, I can't even believe the Daily Mail would post that. But, I mean, you know, it's the damn Israelis and the CIA out there freaking killing people left and right, political assassinations, and everything else.
Yeah, but, you know, the normal American, when they talk about the Israelis doing a bunch of assassinations, their normal kind of Zio American are like, well, they're just killing the Arabs that want to kill them, and they're blowing their heads off with cell phones, and they're Hamas operatives, and they don't think about them doing assassinations on our soil of like high level patriots and things like that, which is a reality. You know, these people will go to any lengths to control, you know, our political system and so forth and so on. And so, I mean, the assassinations, they go around. I mean, the MI6, I mean, you remember that one guy got found in a duffel bag all chopped up? I mean, they're all involved.
Yeah, they're on fire, too. And
yeah, I mean, they're all involved in this. But, the Israeli intelligence are some, you know, they're some heavy hitters. And they have no problem assassinating Americans on American soil. And I think some of these news watchers aren't thinking of it on that level.
You know, Gordon Duff, you know, Veterans Today, he told a story one time that he used to work. One of his best buddies was a cardiologist, and he was a Mossad agent. He worked for the Mossad, and he worked with this guy. I'm assuming he was CIA working with the Mossad. I know sometimes they work together or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and I'm assuming, from the way he described it, he was the heavy. He was like the security for this guy while they went around and poisoned people. You know, he was a cardiologist, and his job, basically, as an assassin, you know, Gordon Duff would go and be his security guy, and make it look, you know, cause the death of someone and make it look like they died of natural causes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, what'd you think about that cardiologist of Old Man Bush down there in Houston? Some dude in a sweatsuit and a brown tactical pants and everything. He comes by and does a drive-by on a bike and kills this cardiologist that was working on Old Man Bush. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, first thing I thought, it was payback for something.
Yeah.
How far back. Yeah. That was my first guess, was it was payback. But, we may never know the real story, full story behind that.
Yep, I hear you, Frank. Anything else?
Yeah, man, a lot, but I'll let you go.
All right, man, see you.
All right, bye.
All right. So, let's see here. Extreme heat in Europe and Japan, animal die-offs. I mean, I'm seeing this. And then all over the place, the directed energy weapon angle on these wildfires in California. Just these firenados, just those strange, strange burn patterns. And Ken just came on the air and said, did you see that house that was cut in half? No, I didn't see that. But, I mean, just the strangest stuff with this California. And I keep seeing, like, Dabu 7 and others talk about these wave anomalies coming from South Africa. Just very weird stuff. But, I got another call. Let's take Richard in Austin. How we doing, Richard?
Hey, Robert, I'm all right. Yeah, I just called to beat up on my favorite mystery untouchable group called the Black Boulets.
Oh, yeah,
I figure if we go after them a little harder, I think our fight, our struggle against these powers that be will be a lot easier. We start fingering these guys for who they are. They're like a strike force that nobody talks about, and they're sharp as a tack. Every last one of them can out-talk, seem like the host of any show they get on, and they're always well-bred, well-schooled, and all the historical, you know, whatever the precedent of the day
propaganda.
Is.
Yeah, the propaganda. Historical, yeah.
Yeah, well, but nobody would never actually talk about them. Nobody never states that those two words, Black Boule. People talk about, you know, the Jesuits, the Jews, whatever. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about any show I listen to. But nobody will touch these Black Boule. Nobody will actually throw that title out and make it a household name for some reason. And these are the people that keep the debates going, keep them so red hot and so confusing, because they're all expert speakers. You know, and they work for it. I mean, we gotta go after these people. Like, last time I talked to you, you mentioned Professor West, you know, Al Sharpton. I mean, they've been around so long, we all know them, but we don't really know them. You know, we don't really. Yeah. How do these guys keep getting away with working behind the scenes like that? And it's because none of the hosts that I ever call, I keep expecting to hear a whole show done on these guys, like where they come from, what flags they're flying, you know, how they came out of the Greek system, you know, the recruitment process, but nobody touches it. It's like, I don't understand why. We know all about all the other center groups.
You know, that what's fascinating is, and I try to touch on a lot of the, like the cultic elements in the Black population, whether it's the Black Hebrew Israelites, the Qs. I touch on the Boule from time to time. But, you know, a lot of this stuff comes out of the 1930s with the Noble Drew Ali and the Morris Science Temple of America and the offshoots from the Nation of Islam, the, you know, 5% Nation of Gods and Earths, and this whole House of Consciousness, which is kind of like, you know, the Egyptology stuff. I mean, there's a lot of these cults out here, but the Boule really is your heavyweight entertainers. And your academics, you know, one of the guys one of the guys I really zero in on is Michael Eric Dyson from Georgetown.
Right.
And this guy's a real hardcore Marxist snake, and he's like one of the kings of the progressives right now. And that guy's got a real sharp tongue. And, you know, Keith Ellison's another one. Now, did you see this scandal popping on him, beating up his old lady and the son blowing the whistle on it?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, this one just broke.
I mean, he's a Muslim too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's basically kind of like in the shades of Obama. He was close with the Nation of Islam for a time, and then he got involved with Democratic Party politics. Now he's number two at the DNC, and so now basically this lady named Karen Monaghan, who was one of his former, I guess, lovers or whatever you want to call it. Her son basically found some stuff on her computer, some footage allegedly of him dragging her around and kind of manhandling her and so forth and so on. And he dumped all this stuff on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. And so now Mike Cernovich and some of these other cats have latched onto it, and now it's blowing up on Gateway Pundit and a bunch of these kind of conservative websites. So, but a lot of people in the comments section are basically like, look, man, he's a leftist. And basically the big CNN and the rest of them, they're not going to cover it. They're going to file 13 it, and he's probably, you know, but who knows? I don't know. But, you know, if you're like, I always talk about the left cover for terror, left cover for criminality. They've got carte blanche to get away with like 5 times to 20 times as much crap as somebody that's, you know, in the kind of the patriotic right sphere. They get a crooked toenail, man. They want to crucify them. You even say the wrong thing over there, and then you're deplatformed, or you're ran out of a job or whatever. But these guys on the left, I mean, if you want to be a dirtbag and you want to be a criminal and you want to be a deviant, join the Democratic Party, and you got a lot more leeway to move and you know, do your thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I agree with everything you said, but I think it's going to be up to us, you know, to really put that word, that title, Black Boule, and what it really stands for, because it's not really left or right. It's really just, to me, the other side of the Illuminati or whatever that high-level group is, sure, the name of me. I think, but if we don't really put where they come from, how strategic they are, and like you said, Eric Dyson is just one of them. All of them are brilliant speakers. All of them know all of the world history, it seems like. And they're on every talk show from Fox to CNN.
Well, they know the Marxist view of world history. Yes, yes. They pump. Yes, well, that's what they think.
And we need to know their history.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you got to look at it like this. Anytime that you're going to have an elite core, like the Elders of Zion, let's say, whether you believe that they're the tip of the iceberg, they're going to need elites as far as their shock troops. They're going to need elites to corral whatever shock troops. And you know, from the beginnings of the NAACP and so forth and so on, to create this kind of Marxist shock troop in Black America, they had to recruit their elites. Like Margaret Sanger wanted to recruit some of these Black preachers to be on board with the Planned Parenthood stuff. So these guys – they also wanted to recruit some of these guys to basically corral people towards communism. And look at the big cities. We've got a knucklehead that just got elected here from Ferguson that's going to be the prosecuting attorney I was talking about at the beginning of the show. These people are all basically voting by race and by party, and that's it, to the point where this guy could be the most toxic individual, unqualified prosecutor. They don't care. As long as the guy looks like them and he kowtows the party line, that's all they need. And then they're going to march these people towards collectivism and Marxism and dependence on the state. And look at all of our major cities. It's a cesspool of dependence and crime and basically out of wedlock childbearing. And it's a perpetual cycle.
Yeah. And the people that keep convincing Black people that we need to re-vote these people in are always the expert Michael Steeles and I mean, it's like we can't get rid of these people. They're fixtures in our, and we think they're even Colin Powell, and I'm talking Thurgood Marshall, even Martin Luther King was a black boule. But if nobody never hears that term, black boule, people hear socialist, they hear leftist, they hear those terms, but they never hear the words black boule. We have to associate those words with leftist, socialist, and everything else you said. You see what I'm saying? That's got to be the first thing to come out of our mouth. That black boule did this. That black boule did that. We need to make sure that that's a common phrase, term, whatever it is, title. And we're not doing that. And I just got one more thing, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
One of the things that Trump did when he got in office, love him or hate him, he freed the churches up from the 501c3, but nobody's taking advantage of that. I keep expecting to see throngs of preachers out there with their entire congregations with them. Because Donald Trump said, it's okay, you get to keep the money, you get to keep the 10%, you get to write it all off, but just expose some of this corruption in politics. And nobody has responded to that. It's the same preachers.
Yeah.
You know, a handful of, you know, we got Butch Paul, we got, you know who they are.
Yeah.
But we don't have any.
There's not very many conservative black preachers that get any kind of platform on the television, especially. And so, most of the big heavyweight black preachers like T.D. Jakes and so over, they're all leftists. And so now what I'm interested in seeing, and I don't get to watch much Christian TV anymore is because I don't have access to it because I don't have cable. But I would like to see if there's been a spike in political, more or less, sermons and stuff in on your right wing, and which I don't have access to, so I don't really know.
Well, I was expecting just churches just randomly by the thousands just hitting the streets. Because back in the 60s, you would see literally in every city preachers leading. They'd be at the community centers, they'd be at boys' club, girls. You know, they would just come out and be a part of the, you know, the collective. But, you know, I'm not saying left, right. I'm saying all of them have been free. That's what Trump said. He said he even described what the Lyndon Johnson 501c3, what it was all about. I don't know if you remember that press conference he called.
He actually said
this is what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he literally told the world.
Yeah. Well, I still view the IRS is most likely a hostile agency that's pretty much probably in rebellion to the president right now. So we'll see if the IRS will still jump and sick people or not right behind an executive order's back. I don't know, but I'm gonna let you go.
I expect it to be like a grassroots type thing. Okay. All right. Hey, take my call.
Yeah, no problem, man. I wanted to get to this, but yeah, how that's going to work itself out, the Johnson Amendment and the, you know, an executive order kind of repealing that, and how it's going to flow throughout the IRS. Well, that will remain to be seen, because I still think the IRS is full of so many dirtbags that basically I think many federal agencies are in open rebellion against the present administration. We all have to keep mindful of that. Ken, if you'd get clip 9 ready, and this is the trade deals and the tariffs and so forth. There's a lot of stuff floating around about Trump and the Turks, you know, the tariffs and basically with Russia and Iran and so forth and so on. There's all this speculation that Trump's trying to basically, you know, break up NATO and get Turkey out of NATO and so forth and so on, and playing this deadly game with blah, 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 and that Trump and Putin secretly got something going on to break up basically the Rothschild Zio Empire, NATO, and so forth. There's so much speculation it's hard to get to, but I'm going to play this one. This is kind of about Q and tariffs and so forth. It's about some of the Q drops, but let's roll clip 9.
Now, why am I going here now? Because what Q said, and I continue to emphasize, there's too much relationship between some of the Q posts and what's happening in the White House that I'm very, very sure that they are connected. let's read what Q said about this chart. And by the way, this Q post from a couple of days ago on August 6th was included this Fox News graphic. Q says, ask yourself, if the U.S. GDP is greater than the total of all others combined in the G7, which allows us to negotiate from a position of strength, why would previous presidents knowingly pillbox unequally distribute America's wealth away by making unbalanced trade deals? They had to destroy the United States. They had to take us down in order to bring in the New World Order. It's that simple. Our presidents, our politicians have sold us out forever for a little money, a little power. It says, why was America's wealth being distributed worldwide? Why was the American taxpayer, which is us, the deplorables, essentially subsidizing for the rest of the world? The American taxpayer has no equal anywhere in the world. Guys, think about a couple things here. These plane loads of cash that Obama sent around the world. Think about that. Think about Obama's last speech before the United Nations. I've done a video on it, where he wanted to be the king of the world, let Hillary become president of the U.S., and he was going to become king of the world. The Muslim Brotherhood was going to take over the entire planet with the help of the socialists and the fascists like Antifa, guys. And I wish that the people that are on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood at this point would understand history. As soon as they use their pawns, the first ones that are destroyed are the ones they're using. Now, you've got the backing of the Rothschilds, the Soros group. And Rothschild came out today, the head one, and said, it looks like we're really in trouble with our New World Order agenda. But again, we had to be taken down. We are the hardest working group on the planet. We are the most loyal to our nation, and we've been taken advantage of. Our taxes have been extremely high. Why? We were subsidizing the rest of the world so that we would fall and their agenda could take over. Again, the American taxpayer has no equal anywhere in the world. Access to the American consumer, the U.S. market, is essential for every major country in the world. Why do they attack Trump when he says we need free trade? Because he's going against the takeover of the greatest nation left. America was systematically being weakened.
All right, go ahead and stop it there.
Was systematic.
Now, this is an article out of, over at Sorcha Fall, and we all know that it's funny and it's sometimes fiction, but sometimes it makes some interesting points. President Trump has embarked upon a new great game to break the power of the deep state globalist-controlled factions in America, along with those in Britain and Europe, that involves his using sanctions to separate the European Union from their major energy source producers and suppliers in Russia, Turkey, and Iran. That is successful would leave the energy-starved and economically battered nations of Europe no choice but to cut their ties to the United States, thus allowing Trump to take the U.S. out of NATO and set America upon its own course. But that the Security Council also this past week, Trump taunts the deep state, daring them to assassinate him as historic U.S.-Russia alliance to save the world gains speed, warns now puts Trump in the same crosshairs as U.S. assassinated presidents Lincoln and McKinley, and you could also say Kennedy, along with Russian assassinated leaders Tsars Alexander II and Nicholas II, all of whom likewise tried to break the power of these deep state monsters who have brought the world nothing but hundreds of millions of needless deaths and economic enslavement. And then but you read Gordon Duff and those guys on the other side, they say that that's all fairy tale and Trump's completely compromised dirtbag and so forth and so on. We all have to make up our own mind. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Talk to y'all soon. Thanks, Ken, for everything. It's been the same way for years.
you find.